The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, I hope and pray that you have some kind of a dream for your life, a vision, something in your heart that you want to do, or perhaps you feel that, you know, God has spoken to you about something that He wants you to do. And if you're like most of us, you may be in a situation right now where you think you see something in your heart, or you believe that there's something that, you know, God's leading you to do, but where you're at in life right now seems to be taking you the exact opposite direction of where you want to go. And if you're in one of those times, it can be very discouraging, but those are the times when you need to hold on to your dreams and believe that even though you don't see the sense in where you're at right now, that if you continue to trust God, He can make it all work out wonderful. And today we have a guest, Dr. Paul Osteen, who is going to share his story with us, and I think it's going to encourage you. Well, Dr. Paul, good to have you here.
So good to be here.
Now, you're Joel Osteen's brother.
I am.
And not that, you know, we have to say that. You're important yourself, but I want people to have a frame of reference for what we're going to be sharing with them today. Sure. So I'd like you just to tell your story about your heart for medical missions and where you went. And
yeah, Joyce, when I was about 7 years old, my mom is a registered nurse, and I used to get, she had some equipment that she had in the bottom drawer of one of our chest of drawers in one of the rooms, and I used to take her bandage scissors, and I'd put them in my hand as a little eight-year-old, and I knew that that was what I was supposed to do. And, you know, I come from a minister's family, and you expected kind of to go in the ministry, but I knew that God had called me toward medicine. And then when I was 12, my dad took me to Africa with him, and we stopped to refuel in the middle of Africa, and out on that tarmac as a 12-year-old, I knew in my heart that I would be back there one day as a medical missionary. And anyway, I went to medical school and got great training. I got great training in burns and children's care and vascular surgery and all these different, you know, areas. Very, very rigorous training, but great training. Went into practice in Little Rock and practiced there for many years. But that dream was inside my heart that one day that I would do something different. Well, when I was 44 years of age, God began to put a restlessness in my heart, like I was supposed to do something different. And so I thought at that time, man, this is our time to go do medical missions. But I didn't have a release. And my dad taught us, keep doing the last thing God told you to do until you're clearly released to do the next thing. So we sat tight for about 2 years, being very uncomfortable. I felt like I wasn't fulfilled doing surgery anymore, and yet I didn't know where to go. And lo and behold, after my dad's death, when I was driving back from the memorial service, I can tell you the place, US 59 and the Cleveland exit, I felt like the Lord gave me these three little sentences: give up your practice, move to Houston, and help. It made no sense to my mind. You know, I'm a very kind of scientific mind, but it made perfect sense to my spirit or to my heart. And that was 17 years ago. We made that journey and gave up medicine, gave up what we thought I would be doing as far as medical missions to help Joel pastor the church.
And okay, now let's just make a point out of this, because this is good. Here, you're like a very respected, very successful surgeon.
Right.
And God speaks to you to go help your little brother.
Right.
So, was that easy?
No, it was very difficult. I like a job description. I like everything to be, you know, clear to me, but to help is too vague for me.
Yeah.
But you know what? He didn't always give us details.
Right.
And so, you know what, I just decided to obey, to step out in faith, and it made no sense. Some of my friends and pastors there in Little Rock thought I'd lost my mind, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But, you know, during a few years there when I helped Joel with the transition and as the church grew, Joyce, I learned something there, pastoral care and leadership and things that are very, very important to make me who I am today. And then about 10 years ago, Joel, when things were pretty settled and we were able to hire some people to help us do what we need to do, Joel said, Paul, if you feel like going to the mission field, you know, you can go 4 to 6 months a year if you want. And so I took a little baby step out, and believe it or not, Joyce, I was just as good at surgery. And no way am I trying to brag. In other words, I was well trained. I could still do surgery. And now for the last 10 years, you know what, I am in remote parts of Africa. And you know what I need, Joyce? I need to know how to pastor people, because missionaries are there.
Yeah.
I need to know how to do burn surgery.
Yeah.
Children's surgery, yeah. Vascular surgery. All the things that God had put in me, put in my training. And I'll tell you another interesting thing that happened. Where I felt like God spoke to me on the tarmac there, I think, as I recall in my little 12-year-old mind, was Northern Rhodesia. And did you know now I mostly help people and work in Zambia, which used to be known as,
oh, wow.
as Northern Rhodesia. So God's word is without fail. I mean, and He can orchestrate it better than we could ever do it on our own. It's not the path that I would take, but I love what you said in the introduction. You can treasure the dream, but trust the dream giver.
Yeah.
He's wiser and smarter than we are.
Yeah.
And I told you earlier, Joyce, I was walking down this little path in Africa recently, just a couple of months ago, and it was snakes everywhere and just a little path, and I was going home from the hospital at about 4 a.m. and I thought, I would rather be here than any place in the world because I know I'm doing what I'm wired to do and what God called me to do as a young boy.
I'd have to pray twice about the snake thing. If I was going to want to be there, I might have to ask God if I could be there minus the snakes. Well, I think it's really important for people to understand that, you know, when we have something in our heart that we want to do, man, we just want to do it. I remember when God put in my heart that I was going to teach the Word. Well, honestly, I was so foolish, I just thought, well, I guess I'll get up tomorrow and start having this big ministry. Well, that's been 40 years ago, and so it didn't happen that way. I had to have training. I had to have experience. I had to go through things. I had to apply the Word in my own life, and then, you know, I taught a home Bible study for 5 years, and then I worked for somebody else for 5 years. And, you know, one of the things you and I were talking about this earlier before we actually started filming today is that so many people today, and I guess I'll say young people because that's usually where we start, although it can be anybody, they don't realize the importance of getting experience. And we're making a big mistake if we promote somebody into a key position that gives them a lot of notoriety before they actually have any experience. You know, it's much better for you that you got all the training that God wanted you to have before you got to go do the thing that was in your heart to do. And it was much better for me to go through the hard things that I went through and to learn what I needed to learn in order to be in the position that I'm in right now. And I think instead of just praying for God to give us what we want, we need to pray for God to give us what we can handle and always keep Him first, and to give it to us in His way and in His time.
So good.
Not just, I want it, and give it to me now, and if you don't give it to me now, I'm going to finagle around and find a way to make it happen. But Your will be done at the right time, in the right way in my life. And, you know, it may seem to people sometimes like God is leading them in a totally wrong direction, but if we trust Him, He'll always get us. He'll use the path we're on, and He'll get us on the path that's going to take us right to where we think that we want to be.
Absolutely.
And so I just wanted them to hear your story, and we're going to be sharing some other things with them later along the same lines. I want you to know that just because you're not where you'd like to be right now, you may feel like, well, what does this have to do? You know, I'm working here doing this, that. What does that have to do with this dream I've got in my heart? Well, you know what? I spent a lot of years in office work and all kinds of stuff that didn't seem to have anything to do at all with what I'm doing now. But I'm glad I got all that business experience because it helps me in a lot of decisions that I need to make today. Yeah. So here's the bottom line. You keep your faith in God and you just behave yourself where you're at, have a good attitude, and trust God. Learn everything you can where you're at right now, because what you're learning right now in your life is going to help you in the next place that you go to. Yeah. And if God has spoken something to you, it will come to pass, but you may not go a direct route like you'd like to. You may have to take a few detours to get there, but you'll be prepared in the way that God wants you to be prepared. So thank you for listening today, and I pray that you'll be blessed by what you're going to hear next.
We live in a world where trust is difficult to gain and easily broken. Yet we all need a safe place where we can trust fearlessly. Come, connect with the one who won't let you down, whose love for you never, ever fails. At the 35th anniversary Love Life Women's Conference,
featuring Joyce Meyer and her guests, Joel Osteen, John Gray, Michael W. Smith, Chris Tomlin, C.C. Winans, Ruth Graham, and Dave Meyer.
You want to really make the devil mad? Trust God and enjoy your life while God is solving your problem.
So quit trying to figure it all out and say, God, I'm going to take the limits off of you. I know one touch of your favor can get me to where I'm supposed to be.
Visit joycemeyer.org and register today. The 2017 Love Life Women's Conference.
Well, now remember, God can use all of our experiences along the way to where we're going. Nothing is wasted with God. Ginger joins me now with some of your questions about this topic. Well, Ginger, I'm sure we got lots of good questions about what in the world is going on in my life.
Yeah. You know, it really is exciting. If we could all see the end rather than where we are in the process, to see the way that God takes those things that don't seem to make sense.
Right.
And they all play a role in His plan for us. And so we have many questions along those lines. This is Lynn from Atlanta. And she says, God placed a dream in my heart for a new business venture, and it's going very slowly. I'm a single woman trying to make ends meet, but financially, I don't know how much longer I can. Did I miss God? I have a great faith, but I'm just not seeing things happen.
You know, any of us, no matter who we are or how spiritual you think you are, any one of us can have to face at times that maybe we didn't hear from God. And that's not a problem. That's not, I mean, that's part of the way you learn to hear from God is by making mistakes. But just because something's going slow doesn't mean that it's not God. I always like to say that, you know, we like to microwave stuff, but God likes to use a slow cooker. And Dave has this thing that he said for years, slow and solid, fast and fragile. Now, if she's at the point where she can't do what she's trying to do, I always say that we're partners with God, and there's certain things that only we can do in that God's not going to do that for us. Mm-hmm. But then there are certain things that only God can do. So let's just say, for example, that, you know, we'll take our ministry. If I'm trying to be in ministry, but there's a constant struggle for finances and the finances aren't there and I can never figure out what I want to teach on, or, you know, it's like, then I have to say, you know what, this is just not right. Because God did not call us to constant struggle. You know, there are things that we do for periods of time that we don't maybe like to do or don't feel like, well, this doesn't make any sense compared to what's in my heart. Mm-hmm. But God can use all those things along the way to help us to where He wants us to end up being. But rather not somebody's hearing from God or not, we don't ever want to be too stubborn to think, well, maybe I just didn't hear from God. And even if that's the case, God will still use the time that you put into that. There will still be a lesson in it for God. So I would just tell her to, if she really feels in her heart that that's what God has told her to do, then just hang on as long as she can. But if it gets to the point where it's stealing her peace and she's frustrated all the time and the provision is not there, I really believe that what God orders, He pays for. And so when what we're doing is the will of God, we're not going to have to constantly struggle for finances.
Right. And I love what you say, that even if it is a turn in the path that she wasn't expecting, that God will use each one of those steps for His benefit, for His ministry, and for her benefit.
God uses our worst mistakes to help us in the long run, so we can't, He'll use everything.
This comes from Lisa. She says, I have this passion and dream for orphans ever since high school, but it seems that the work I'm doing right now does not tie in with what I want to do. The job I'm doing is my main source of income, and it feels like I'm going in the wrong direction. What can I do to fulfill my God-given dream?
I mean, there's lots of things that she could do while she's working her job. She can support orphans financially. She can volunteer in her church. If there's no outlet in her church, I mean, I'm quite sure that there's shelters or places in her city, or maybe even an orphanage in her city where she might be able to go and just volunteer as like a big sister or something like that to help kids. I believe a lot of times that, because I found this with me, I think you have to be willing to do anything. And then sometimes as you're doing anything, God will lead you to the thing that he wants you to do. I mean, I just wanted to serve God, and I did all kinds of things before I settled into knowing what I was supposed to be doing. One thing's for sure, if God has put something like that in her heart, then he will open the right doors. So I would just pray for God to open doors, because God can open doors that nobody else can open. For God to open doors, and maybe not to have a preconceived idea of how that helping orphans is going to play out in her life.
Because, that's a great point.
Yeah, because honestly, I mean, maybe she's in a job where she makes enough finances that she can afford to support a couple of orphans. And even that's a good place to start while she's waiting to do more eventually.
Right. Yeah, because it's interesting when she says, it seems like the work that I'm doing does not tie in.
Yeah.
But God has a way of tying things in, just like we heard in Dr. Osteen's story.
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense at the time.
Yeah.
But God has a way.
Well, I think about my son David, and just real quickly, he was on the mission field. He and his wife were living in Costa Rica on the mission field. They were both in language school. He'd been through Bible college, and they felt called to be missionaries. But they were really struggling for support, and there wasn't that many doors of opportunity open, and so we offered them a job to come back here, and he was actually going to, his job here at the ministry would be to develop my, at that point, I was only on radio 15 minutes a day. And, well, that had nothing to do with missions. And so it was confusing to them, because in their heart, they felt like they were supposed to come back here, but it made no sense to their head. Mm. Well, now, fast forward a lot of years, he and his wife, Shelley, are in charge of our world missions programs all around the world, and he does so many things in missions now. And to me, that's just a great story of how, yeah. You know, a lot of times what we have in our heart, we're not ready for yet. We have to go through a maturing process of maybe going through some other things and being submissive where we're at and bearing fruit where we're at while God's getting us to where he wants us to be.
Yeah. Allie asked this question. I feel like I had a dream and it hasn't developed yet. I wanted to write a book, but many obstacles in the way, and then all of a sudden, I seem to have lost motivation. I was wondering if you have any idea how I can find that motivation keeping my dream alive.
Well, I don't know that you can find motivation. I think it's either there or it's not. And so a lot of people want to write a book and tell their story. A lot of people want to put their music into a music project, and those are great goals, but still, it's more than just wanting to do something. You know, you have to have the ability. There's desire, but then there's ability. And you need to have an open door. You need to have the right finances for writing a book. You need a right editor. You need a publisher. There's a lot of things you need. So here again, if something is from God, then all the other things that need to go along with it will come along with it. Now, the other side of it is sometimes God puts something in your heart and it doesn't come to pass for 20 years.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't mean it will instantaneously happen.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that she'll never write a book. And maybe a lot of the things that will be in her book haven't even happened to her yet. So I say hang on to your dreams, but don't try to make things happen. Pray for God to open doors, but don't get in the trap of trying to kick doors down.
Yeah. I love the verse that says that if you desire him with his whole heart, he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll place in your heart those desires that are his plan for
and
us.
And then he'll bring them to pass.
Exactly, exactly. I'm at a point in my life where I'm not sure what my destiny is. All of my life, I've taken care of everyone else, my kids, my husband, anyone that needed me. How do I now know that those jobs are over, what my destiny is?
Well, I guess that's a lifelong question that so many people have. And, you know, the best thing I know to tell people is you can only find out by stepping out. You know, sometimes you just have to, I suggest she try a few things, see what fits. It's kind of like when you go out to look for an outfit, you don't know exactly what you want. You know, you try several things on, no, that's not right, no, that's not right, oh, that's too tight, or that's too big, or, boy, I don't like that color. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you just put on the right thing, and it's like, yep, that's it. And I think the same thing can happen to us when it comes to what am I supposed to do now. And every parent, I think, maybe not every parent, but a lot of parents come to that. The kids are gone, not doing what I used to do, or, you know, people maybe who lose a spouse to an untimely death or whatever, it's like, well, now what, you know? Well, I always tell people, if you're here on the planet and you're breathing, then God's got a purpose for you. And so don't be afraid to try a few things, to just find out what's fit, yeah. What fits.
There's a wonderful woman who goes and volunteers her time on many, many of our medical missions trips. Mm-hmm. And it was after she lost her husband. She was at that very same point of not knowing what God had for her. And she found this niche that has brought her so much joy. Yeah. And has helped so many other people.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just you got to get out there and try some things.
Yeah. All right, Shelley from Florida asks, how do you really know that your heart's desire and God's plans are the same? I've wanted more children since our son turned 3, but now 22 years later, I found out that I was pregnant just to have a miscarriage. Now, I'm very discouraged and I'm feeling confused and I've lost my joy.
Well, God certainly doesn't want her to lose her joy. You know, Ginger, so many people spend their life, I should say waste their life, trying to make something happen that God is not making happen. And so we know he doesn't want us depressed. We know he doesn't want us discouraged. We know he doesn't want us to lose our joy. And so one of the things that I've kind of learned, and this, I don't mean it to sound harsh, but there's a difference in a desire and what I would term a lust. And a lust does not have to be connected to something sexual. I mean, anything that I have to have, if I say, well, I cannot be happy if I don't have that, then it's a desire that's out of balance. Because we don't have to have anything to be happy except God. And so if she's always wanted more children, but she didn't have more children, man, I understand. If you wanted that all your life, and so then you get pregnant and then you miscarry, yes, that's going to be hard.
Yeah, devastating.
It's going to hurt. There's going to be emotions attached to that. But instead of letting that be a dead end, why not think about it like, well, maybe God is closing the door for me to have a child from my own body. Maybe he wants me to adopt, or maybe he wants me to do something in children's ministry. I mean, I think sometimes we have this one idea of how things are going to happen, and God is just way too creative for that. He just has so many. You know, I was just looking this morning, I was reading Proverbs 16:1, that man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Man's mind plans his way, but the wise answer of the tongue comes from God. So often we have our plan, and we've got part of it, we're sensing something, but we don't have all the details just right. So the bottom line is God loves us, he does have a good plan for our life, and I think if we're pliable and moldable in his hands and just say, well, God, this is what I feel, but if I'm not right, I commit my way unto you, and you bring it to pass.
Yeah, God really honors that, doesn't he? He knows
he does.
Our hearts.
Yep.
And it makes a big difference. Like you were saying, we can't make a mistake if our true heart's desire is to really honor and please him.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, who's a long time ago gone to be with the Lord, the first Bible that I was ever given when I married Dave was a little white King James Bible. And she wrote in the fly leaf, Psalm 37, I think it's 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4. Commit your way unto the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. And little did she know what she was writing, and I certainly didn't know, except that I was very strong-willed, and I had a tendency to want to make things happen. And so that was a good word for me from the get-go. It's like, if I'm trying so hard to make something happen that it frustrates me all the time, then I'm going about it the wrong way, that's for sure. Well, today we're offering you a little book, but it's a power-packed book called Enjoy Your Journey. And you know what? That's really one of the things that God wants for us. I mean, Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Remember, God has not called us to be miserable and frustrated. He wants us to enjoy the life that He's given us. And in order to do that, we have to trust Him, especially when things don't seem to be working out the way that we want them to or the way that we thought they should. And you know what? Everybody goes through that. Now, we're offering you this book today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We trust you to do your very best. And you know, this is not only a great little book that you're going to enjoy reading, but this is something that you can share with other people. Everybody wants to enjoy their life on the way to where they're going. And so let's remember that God's got a good plan for you. Be sure you understand that He doesn't want you to live a miserable life, and start today enjoying every day of your life. God bless you.
Are you enjoying every day of your life? Or do you tell yourself you'll find happiness once you've reached a specific goal? Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life. And in Joyce's book, Enjoy Your Journey, Find the Treasure Hidden in Every Day, you'll learn biblical principles and practical ways to enjoy every day on your journey through life. Learn how to enjoy where you are right now, on the way to where you're going. This book is available for your gift of any amount. To order, call us toll-free, 1-800-727-9673, or visit us at joycemeyer.org.